See, today, one of my very old friend, well on the path of spirituality, since his days as a professor in National College, Trichy, he had a mantra diksha. But we had to tell him what actually is a mantra, how is it related to God, how we telling a mantra you will be able to realize God or the self. What is the process through which this mantra works? And strange to say, even the founder of the Advaita, the great Adi Shankaracharya, he received a mantra from his guru Govinda Bhagavatpada, and he had given mantra diksha to all his people. This has been the tradition since then in the muds of all the four Shankaracharyas, rather all the five, including Kanchi Kamakoti. So these proponents of Advaita, how is it they got caught in the mantras of devatas who are supposed to have some rupa? So how relevant it is and for whom it is applicable? Number one, let us start from the very beginning. Why do you want God? I am happy. I got my job. I am getting my money. I am eating. My son is studying in the college. Is doing very well. So why should God come in at all? And the one about whom we have seldom known, and about whom there are controversial opinions. There is a God for Muslims. There is a God for the Jews. There is a God for the Hasidians, but each one conceives him in his own way. So, where there is absolutely no agreement at all, and whom we have never seen, about whom there are different diverse accounts as to who he is and how he is to be approached, why should we need him at all and unnecessarily spend our time and energy over that? See, what we require, you ask any number of people, you select some 1,000 people, statistical sample, and you ask each one of them, what do you want? He says, I want a house. Somebody says, I want a wife who will look like Hema Malini. Another one says, I want parts and parts of money. Somebody wants status, somebody wants position. Somebody wants a child. So, diverse are the requirements. But, don't stop with that question. Take it to its ultimate end. Again, you put a question to all those people. Yes, you want a son. You want a house. You want power and position. Tell me why. What do you get out of that? You get parts of money. What happens to you? Why do you want it? You want a big house. Why? The ultimate answer for all of them is, I want happiness. So my own concept is, I will get happiness through the house. I will get happiness by getting position. I will get happiness by getting a child. In other words, everybody wants ultimately happiness, but the means adopted for achieving this end happen to be different. But then, in this world, there have been many billionaires. Many and many, not only in this country, in all the countries. One Michael, he had amassed crores and crores, rather billions and trillions of dollars in those days. But he never knew what is happiness. He had never known what's a family life, even though he had a family. There is a day when he was to go for some meeting, he came out of his office. He was rushing. Suddenly he saw a brilliant young man talking to his personal secretary. A young man, aged about 25 or so. His gestures were nice. The way he talked was nice. His manners were very alluring. And the style and the way in which he spoke was fascinating. He said, my office should have more such young men. He went away. When he came back after the meeting, he called his personal secretary and asked him, who was that chap who was with you an hour back? A young man. He looked very brilliant. She said, sir, he is the first son of a second wife. He had been living in your house for the last 24 years. He never knew. He has never seen. He used to go away at night, 12 o'clock, and got to his room through his own latch key. He had his own breakfast in his own room. Where was the time for him to see his wife and children? They never knew what is happiness. They were working for happiness all through their life. So you can ask anybody at any time, except those who are on the spiritual path and have achieved something, some success on that path to a large extent. All others will tell you they never found the ultimate happiness, the apparent happiness. Because you ask anybody for how many hours you want happiness. What are you talking about? I want perennial happiness. I want happiness for all the 24 hours, for all the 30 days of the month, for all the years, and I want long, long, long years of life, and I want to enjoy. So happiness is our ultimate aim or goal. And the means adopted are all, I won't say wrong, but none of them have taken to success. Anybody who are on this path of yearning fame, name, money, position, relatives, sons, wives. Na karmana na prajayadhane na tyage naike namatattvamanaju. One of the Upanishads known as Narayana Upanishad starts with this. You do any amount of work, say 100 hospitals for the poor, 100 hospitals for the blind. You might build schools for spastic children. None of these will give you God realization, civilization, or the happiness which you wanted. None of them is going to give you happiness because none of them is a factor of getting the happiness. So, all have struggled hard in this life. All have trodden the same old path. The path of earning money, the path of having children, the path of having relatives. I would rather say, with all our intellectual abilities, we have been prostituting them for only earning money, and we have never used it for the purpose for which it is meant to be, to get the permanent happiness. So people have all been disappointed in this external world. There is nothing which can contribute to our perennial or permanent happiness. Yes, there may be delicious dishes which could give you happiness for 2-3 minutes. You could have a few moments of pleasure with your wife. The same wife who gave you pleasure today, after 10 years, she may become your enemy and you will be filing divorce suits against each other. How is it? If pleasure was a permanent component of hers, how is it turned into bitterness in a decade's time? So, in this external world, all the people have all the time for centuries and centuries or eons have struggled hard to get their happiness through money and all these, whatever objects are available in this world, they have tried to attain. But they didn't get that happiness. Let us make use of their experience. After all, researchers went on the basis of what Newton had told. Yes, it could well be later on it has found that Newton's laws have all been now superseded by the theories of relativity. But then that is the base. You can't start from the scratch every time, then you would never reach. So, you start from that. Yes, in this external world, there is absolutely no happiness at all. Then what place is left for searching for that happiness? The inside. Everywhere where there is a door, there are two sides. The one is the outside and another is the inside. So you have searched everywhere outside and come to the conclusion that nowhere there is a permanent happiness. And anything that you thought was giving you happiness, say I was taking jangri or gulab jamun, a sweet dish, it gave me happiness. I took 30 of it. By the evening I got a distended stomach, rumblings, and a lot of pain, unbearable pain, rush to the doctor. So, whatever we thought was happiness, they have all ended in miseries, sufferings, and in distress. So the one place which has been left unexplored is the inside. But how to get inside? We know only one side of the picture. This is all before us. And when people have all advised, I have seen hundreds of books from the age of 14 or 15, I have been reading about them, where Swami Shivananda says, Swami Kapavan Maharaj says, go inside, go inside, go inside, sit in your meditation, go inside. I try to sit in meditation. And when I shut my eyes, it's all darkness, darkness, darkness. Impenetrable darkness, there is no question of going in. How to go in? With my body? With my mind? Where will I go? How to go? I have not seen a single book where any Mahatma has written about how to go inside. I don't know whether it's my mistake, but I have not come across. I don't claim to have read all the books in the world. But this is a fact, I have read many of the great Mahatma's books. They only advise you to go inside. What they mean is, yes, you have failed to achieve your purpose of getting happiness in the outside world. Stop the outside world. Don't go to the outside world. Withdraw your mind from all these objects of the outside world which you thought are going to give you happiness. That is why you sought their company. You have been with them for years. You have been having years with your wife. 40 years, 50 years of life. It never gave you the ultimate happiness. Even at the age of 90, every day you quarrel on small things. On absolutely trivial things, there will be quarreling so much. You thought that, oh, at this age they are out for divorce. But luckily they won't divorce each other. But they will be quarreling. So, you avoid the outside. You shut the door to the outside. Where can you be? There are only two sides. Either you are inside or outside. The moment you shut all the outside objects, the moment you leave off all your thoughts of all the objects of the outside world, which has been fascinating you, luring you, but ultimately which had all led to unhappiness, distress and sorrows. Yes, I was very happy to have a beautiful wife and she became a permanent patient. Almost eight months in a year she was admitted in the hospital. Where was the happiness which you sought? It's no longer there. So, the outside world, what all you see, it's all through your mind. The eyes cannot see unless the mind acts behind it. The ears cannot see unless the mind acts behind it. So, the power, the thought force, the mind, it is that which has been sitting in the various chairs. Sitting in the chair of the eye, it sees. Sitting in the chair of the ear, it hears. So, it is the mind through which you have perceived this entire world. You do not know what the world is. The mind has got four spies. Five spies. The spies are your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your skin through which you touch, the feeling of touch. After all, any object in the world, you can only be able to perceive a little of these dimensions. The infinite world, which is actually created by the infinite, by the ultimate infinite one, it has got infinite aspects. You can never catch any object fully, neither your wife, nor your money, nor your friend. Nobody you can know in your lifetime, however much you know. Because your eyes can only see a limited thing. Even the duration of these five senses are limited. If you talk very high, in a highest decibel, your ears cannot hear. If you talk too low, below a decibel, you can't hear. So everything has got a limitation. You are bound by limitations. And because of this bondage of limitations, My life is limited itself. I am unhappy. I want to live more. My health is limited. Suddenly one day they say you are having high sugar, you should not eat anything sweet at all. Then where is the sweetness of life for me? And I am also having BP. So they say you cannot have salt, neither salt nor sweet. What will I eat? Hay? Even that contains salts, unfortunately. So, insight means you withdraw your mind from all these objects of perception. Then, what will the mind do? The mind cannot see anything. If you take away all this, all the screen and the cinema house is there, the audience is there, but there is no cinema to be seen. The seer is there, there is nothing to be seen. You come to that stage. So you withdraw your mind. You will not see anything in the outside world. The outside world is